A lesson tonight is out of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, Christ's identity at birth testified by Gentiles. Our study of the gospel records so far, we have seen Christ in his infancy identified as God incarnate, the Messiah by the Hebrews Joseph, Mary, Elizabeth, Zechariah, Simon, Simeon, Anna, and the Bethlehem shepherds, coupled with the angel Gabriel and a multitude of God's angels who appeared to the Bethlehem shepherds. However, Israel's Messiah one day will rule as King of kings and Lord of lords over the nations of the world. So we would also expect a testimony to arise from Gentiles about the identity of Jesus Christ in his infancy. Well, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, provides this testimony in the visit of the Magi, and we view it for our edification, our insight, and our edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of studying your word. Thank you for your word to us that gives us insight as to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the importance of the visit of the Magi. We ask that as we get into your word, we would understand it and appreciate it, and may it build our faith in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, read the passage and then we'll look at it. Matthew 2, 1 to 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men, or magi, actually, from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Then Herod the king had heard these things. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Messiah should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet," and they quote Micah 5:2, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently as to what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood still over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. In other words, they didn't go back and see Herod. Well, the Hebrew Old Testament scriptures predicted a wonderful ministry of Israel's Messiah to Gentiles. Messiah would be the root of the tree of the Davidic kingdom that was cut down at the Babylonian invasion of Judah, and that root would grow up to restore the Davidic kingdom and become a standard around which the peoples would rally. I know in Isaiah 11:10 it refers to the root of Jesse. Jesse would be the father of David. And so he's talking about the source. And of course, Christ is the source of Jesse, his father, because he's also God. But he would grow up and he would come out. And the Davidic kingdom is actually cut off like a tree is cut off. But if you cut the tree off above the ground, then there are shoots that come off the side and come up and grow. And that's what was going to happen here. Well, the Messiah would thus be a figure of light, also a God's revealed truth in the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles, that he might be God's salvation of mankind to the ends of the earth. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. And of course, where light is used, it always reveals to God's revelation of truth. Well, the visit of the Magi to the infant Messiah in Matthew 2, 1 to 12, prefigured the fulfillment of this predicted hope. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is 5 miles south of Jerusalem, some Gentile magi came from the east to Jerusalem asking where the newborn king of the Jews might be, explaining that they had seen a star in the east and were come to worship him. Now, the magi were priest sages They were experts in astrology and religion, and though we can debate over how they had gained this insight about the Messiah in Israel, they were acting on it. The Magi did not know the biblical prophecy on Messiah's birthplace, so they came to Israel's capital of Jerusalem to ask about it. And that's what you would do. Up till then, the star had just appeared, apparently in the quadrant over the nation Israel. And so they'd come there wondering where the Messiah was, and they thought the best way to find out is to go to the capital city of Jerusalem. Well, Herod the Great, who was an Edomian, that's a descendant of Esau, who had usurped Israel's throne and killed some of his own household for that fear that they threatened his rule, he was upset at news of a native-born Hebrew king. That was a tremendous threat to him. So Herod gathered Israel's chief priests and scribes and demanded that they tell him where Messiah was to be born. And they cited Micah 5:2 that predicted his birthplace would be of Bethlehem of Judah. Apparently there's another town of Bethlehem, I think up in Galilee. But this is down in Judah. Bethlehem Ephrathah is actually the ancient word for Bethlehem. King Herod then privately summoned the Magi and inquired diligently of them when the star, they claimed, had signaled Christ's birth and when it had first appeared. And, of course, he's doing that because he wants to find out how old that child is so that he can, you know, kill all the children at that age and younger. We'll get into that in the next section. So he sent the Magi to Bethlehem to find the Hebrew infant king and report back to Herod that he might also allegedly come and worship him. Now the Magi left Jerusalem and they headed for Bethlehem, and the star that they had seen in the east started to move. It went before them until it stood over the house where the infant king was. Now for a star to lead the Magi from Jerusalem to the house in Bethlehem, that's 5 miles away, where Jesus was, implied a tremendous miracle by the God of the heavens, that's the stars moving and stopping, and of the earth, that's the stars' guidance of the Magi from one place to another place on the earth, revealing that Israel's creator God of the heavens and of the earth, and not some local pagan deity, was leading them. It's interesting. These men were pagans, okay? And in pagans, you have a local deity. Even in the heavens, you have the deity of the planet Saturn, the deity of the moon, deity of the sun, and so forth. So these are local deities. You don't have a deity that creates the whole heavens. And then on the earth, you would hear of places like Baal Zippor, Baal Peor. These are Baals of various localities. And this is why the pagans would worship their gods, their false baals, on all these hills. That's one reason why God says, you're not going to worship me on every hill. You're going to worship me on the hill that I choose. Of course, God was going to choose the city of Jerusalem or the Mount Zion. What you've got here, you've got a star that's way up in the heavens. And it had just appeared, but this is the first time these men actually saw that thing move. It was moving, and no stars move like that, and was moving in front of them, and then it stopped exactly over where the house was. They could actually tell the house. Now, Bethlehem in Jesus' day wasn't that big. Today it's not that big. It's probably a handle a little bigger than Bakerville. So for a star to stop right over a building like that would have been a phenomenal miracle. These men exactly knew where to go. That star also indicated that it's the creator of the whole heavens that's involved, because the star is moving unlike any other star is moving, and it's actually leading them. But it's also demonstrating that it's the God of the heavens and the earth, because he's leading them on the ground where they're at to the actual location. So he's the God of the heavens there, and he's the God of the earth. Now, it's interesting how Rahab the harlot noticed this. Notice that Israel's God was a unique God. He was unlike the pagan God that she worshipped. She actually worshipped the moon god in Jericho. But when Rahab the harlot was talking to the spies in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, she said to them, "And I know that the Lord has given you the land, that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea," that's way over in Egypt, "for you when you came out of Egypt. and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that are on the eastern side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. So he's the god of the other side of the Jordan River. He's also the god way back in Egypt. He's a god that covers more than one locale. He's a god of the entire earth. And he's also got to be the god of the heavens and the earth. Now, it's interesting, the pagans did have, if you go back far enough in their lore, they did have a belief. In fact, they found that the Chinese actually had a belief of the superior spirit that created the heavens and the earth. They have a special name for it. But they had stopped worshiping him. There are other ancient people groups that had a concept of a universal creator, but they had given up worshiping him and they were worshiping these local gods. But Rahab confessed that he was the god of the heavens and the earth. And that's exactly what these men recognized. This is the universal god of the heavens and the earth. Well, realizing this, the Magi greatly rejoiced that the creator god of the entire universe was leading them to his king. And this is an information. This isn't just the king of the Jews. This is the king that is very important to the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is a big king. At that point, I don't know. They might have actually believed in the incarnation of Christ. I'm not sure. But the Magi entered the home of the infant Jesus and his mother, and falling down, they worshipped him as the creator God's king. Then they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. These are expensive items. And these were items that were typically given to royalty. They were similar to the gifts that Jacob had his sons give Joseph in Genesis chapter 43, 11 and 12, when Jacob and his sons viewed Joseph as a high-ranking official, and they were trying to placate him so that they wouldn't be in trouble. So we know from antiquity these are particularly. In fact, they gave him myrrh, and they gave him frankincense. I don't know if they gave him gold. I think they gave him some money. But anyway, now for the first time in the New Testament, Gentiles, having received a message from God, accepted it and responded to it in faith, testifying by their worship that Jesus is the Creator, God's King. Now, once again, this is an amazing thing. Jesus Christ has yet to say a single word about his identity. He's still a baby, probably 6 weeks, maybe at the most 8 weeks of age. And yet you've got testimonies by these Jewish people, testimonies by angels, and testimonies now by Gentiles who had come from a long ways away. These are Magi. These are in fact, some people believe that they were actually kingmakers in the East. And they probably would have come not just on camels, as we often picture them. They probably came with a full entourage of cavalry to protect them because they were coming into Roman territory, which was foreign territory, and they were from Persia. So you've got Gentiles actually coming and testifying that Jesus, the infant, is the King of God. So God then warned the Magi in a dream not to go back to Herod to inform him of Jesus' location, so they returned to their homeland another way to avoid meeting once again with Herod the Great. So not only was the infant Jesus testified by angels and Hebrews to be Israel's Messiah and Son of God, but prefiguring Christ's relation to all of the nations, Gentiles came to worship him as the Creator, God's King. So since long before Jesus testified of his own person and work, God led angels, Jews, and Gentiles to testify that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, and the Creator, God's King. May we also trust in him and worship him. I think it was interesting, this morning we had in the Sunday school class, Graham Peacock was sharing his testimony, and he was talking about the blessings that he's had of reaching Africans for Christ and African pastors. And they had a picture up there with a testimony of one African man, I think it was a pastor, about how he was so appreciative for the works that were being given to him. And even though those books were actually designed for pastors themselves, they were so excited about this, and the people in the churches were so interested in this that they were actually taking those books back and teaching them to the church. The whole church was entering into this. And the man had a big smile on his face, and he was expressing how grateful he was for this information. It makes you wonder how many other people out there in third world countries like the Magi here, are wide open if they could only get a hold of the information and be able to teach it. And now some of these young men, these pastors, are going back, and after having these classes, they're actually starting churches with this information that they have. Tremendous motivation. And it's wonderful because the Lord someday is going to be the King of the entire universe, including all of the Gentiles, even to the ends of the earth. And that's something about the heart of God. He has a missions heart. He always has had. And so it's wonderful here to see that right from the very beginning, before the Lord Jesus Christ ever gets into his ministry, while he's still an infant, a small infant, without having testified of himself, you've got testimonies by Jews, Gentiles, and angels. And that should really help to bolster our faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the testimony of the Magi and how you ministered to them by taking that star that you had appeared and caused to appear to signal that the King of the Jews was come. And then you took that and you actually guided these men 5 miles through a star that was way up in the heavens. I can't imagine how much faster than the speed of light that thing must have been going. They guided them and then caused it to stop right over the house where Jesus was, demonstrating your complete sovereignty, that they had run into the God of the heavens and the earth, and this was his king. And obviously it caused them to rejoice with tremendous joy, and it caused them to worship the Lord Jesus as a king that was important to the creator of the universe. So we ask, Father, that we ourselves would be strengthened in our own faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize that you have a heart for the whole world, that we might indeed be burdened about people who are in third world countries, so that we'll pray for our missionaries, continue to support them, but also see that others are sent out into the foreign field to minister to the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.